Take your Bibles and go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, it is good to be here tonight. And thankful to be in God's house. And it's a great crowd tonight, Brother Andrew. It's a good, praise the Lord for that. It's got to be 3,000 in here, amen. Evangelistically speaking. So appreciate you coming tonight. And I'm going to just give you what the Lord has laid on my heart tonight. And hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. And I'm going to get out of the way and looking forward to hearing Brother Logan preach. And thankful for the singing and thankful for this church. Thank you for White Oak and their stand. And thank you for their love for young people and just staying by the old time way. And appreciate that very much. Thank you for Brother Andrew's friendship. And how many of you ready to go back to school? Two of you. Praise the Lord. I'm reminded of that story. there's a fella, he was waking up one morning. Mama come in there and said, "Hey, you need to get up. It's 7:30. You got to get to school." And guy said, "You know, Mom, look, I don't even think I'm going to go today." She said, "Look, it's first day of school. You got to get up and you've got to get to school." And he pulled the covers back over. Understand, kids, they don't like me. The teachers, they hate me. I think even the janitor hates me. She said, "Son, you don't understand. You're 40 years old and the principal. Get up and go to school." So trust me, kids, the adults feel the same way. Amen. That's all the jokes I got. That's it. So enjoy that. And just put that somewhere. Just when I start preaching here in a minute, there won't be a lot of humor. So just enjoy that one. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 21 is where we're going to be. 1 Samuel chapter 21. I want to say on the onset, I realized David was not perfect. And we're fixing to talk about David. But he was a great picture of our Lord and Savior. And so when I get to preaching here in a minute, I don't need any Bible scholars to come to me after service and tell me that I was wrong. David was a sinner. I realize he was a sinner. Okay, I get that. He wasn't the Savior. I get that. But he was a good picture of it. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the pictures in God's Word where we can see Jesus on every page. Let's stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read just two verses to start out with, and then we'll be in a few other places. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And David said unto Ahimelech, Is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it. For there is none other save that here. And David said, There is none like that. Give it me." Let's pray. To Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you bless this time together. God, that you speak to hearts. Lord, I certainly cannot. Lord, that you've given to me and you've spoken to my heart about. God, I said that it would be a help to some young persons. Tonight, Lord, that you would revive the saint of God. God, if there is one that's lost tonight, God, that they'd be saved. Today would be their day of salvation. Lord, I ask that you'd help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Wow, that was really loud. I'm a little bit intimidated. Oh, y'all, sit down. I thought elephants were coming up in here. Amen. I'm interested in verse number 8. And we find that the last phrase of verse number 8 says this. And this is David speaking here. And he said, because the king's business required haste. And let me just say that our king's business does require haste. And we're living in a day where it is time to redeem the time. It is time to wake out of sleep. It is time to get to work It is time that we are seeing the sun set, night is coming when no man can work, and we realize that the time of work is now, and we've got to get busy. And it is the king's business that we're in, and it is serious business. It's not game time. It's not time for messing around. It's not time for just being nonchalant. It is the king's business. It's important business. It is powerful business, and it is my king's business. I noticed several things in this scripture, and when you read this verse, Andrew, it almost seems like David is being dishonest. Right? Are y'all with me? It almost seems like David is being dishonest, but can I say this? I don't believe he was. Because as I look in Scripture, to many people, David was already the king. God had already rejected Saul. God had already set up David. Can I say tonight that David was already an announced king? In verse 15, Samuel had already come to Saul and said, God has rejected you, and he is going to give your kingdom to your neighbor. Talking about David. We find in other chapters where Samuel has already announced to David and to his family that he would be king. He was already an announced king. He was already an anointed king. Samuel had already anointed him. He was, to Samuel, and in his eyes, he was king. Can I say that he was already an accomplished king? In chapter 17, he did what Saul should have done, and he went out there and faced and kill Goliath. He was an accomplished king. Can I say that in these chapters, in the chapters following, he will be an afflicted king. He will be in a battle. He will be where it seems like the enemy is surrounding him, and it seems like the enemy was going to win, but in the end, he is an avenging king. He is the one that comes and prevails. He is on the winning side, and can I say that we serve the King of Glory, we serve the great I Am, and we are on the winning side. He will be avenging. It may seem like a dark day, and it may seem like a day of sin and black and wickedness, but we are on the winning side because we are serving the King of Glory. Amen. I find the worship of the King is important here, but that's not what I want to preach about. I want to preach about the King's business as he shows up this day. You see, there was a day in chapter 17, this accomplished king showed up in the valley. And he faced down Goliath. Goliath is a picture of sin. Goliath is a picture of wickedness. Goliath is a picture of the world. Goliath is a picture of anything dark that you can think of. That is Goliath. And this king showed up in the valley of Elah, and he faced down Goliath. And on that day, he came up victorious. Is that right? And he took something from Goliath. Is that right? If y'all help me, we're going to learn a lot faster. He took the sword of Goliath. He took his weapon. Brother Daniel, he took his tool. And can I say, when the King of Glory saved your soul, he took the enemy's tool. He took the enemy's weapon. The devil had been using you. You were dead in trespasses and sins. The devil had living inside of you. It had mastered you. It had get your walk, it had get your talk. The devil owned you. But when you got saved, the King of Glory stepped in. And he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And he took his tool. He took his tool. And he said, it's no longer yours, Goliath. It's no longer yours, devil. It's no longer yours, Satan. It's mine now. And he carried it in. And now here you are in the house of God. Is that right? And the king's back. And the king's business requires haste. And I find that there's a petition from the king. The petition is this. If you'll notice in verse 9. And David said, the last phrase, there is none like that. Give it me. Can I say our king has come to the house of God tonight, and he is looking for somebody that he can use. Right. He is looking for somebody that can fit in his hand. Right. He is looking for somebody that is powerless on their own, but is very powerful in the king's hand. Right. He is looking for somebody who can't do anything up on a shelf, who can't do anything up under the cloth, but in the king's hand is very powerful and can do anything that the king says that it can. The petition is this. We find that the king is looking for something that is proven. He has noticed that this sword has already been in battles before. But the battles have been for the wrong side. Now, David, now the king wants you in his side. Now the king wants you to fight for him. Now the king wants you to be a tool for him. Now the king wants you to be used from him. He's looking for something that is proven. He's looking for something that is present. It was available at this time. It was in the right place where David was. David comes in and says, look, Ahimelech, I don't have a sword. I don't have a spear. I don't have a weapon. So I'm just looking for something. And Ahimelech said, oh, I've got just the one. It is the Goliath sword. It's the giant sword that you slew down there in the valley of Elah. And he is looking for you. You're right here in this place. And he's wanting to use you. He's wanting to mold you and make you. And in the king's hand, you will be powerful. But you ought to be present. Are you here tonight? I'm not talking about physically. Are you listening? Are you in tune? Are you usable? Can I say this, that our king's not looking to abuse you. He's looking to use you. That's much different. That's much different. Every young person, adult in this room, you listen to me, my king is looking to abuse you. He's not looking to hurt you. No, he's looking to use you. And when you get in the king's hand, you are powerful. He's looking for something present. Can I say he's looking for something piercing? He doesn't need something. Amen. He's looking for somebody that's reading their Bible and praying. He's looking for somebody that wants to be used. He's looking for somebody that says, hey, if he'll just use me, I'd be used. He's looking for some young man that he could put a touch on, and you could preach God's word, or you could go be a missionary. You could do something great for him. He's looking for some young lady that he could put a touch on, and he could do something great in your life. He is looking for something piercing. He doesn't need something dull. The world is full of things that are dull. The world is full of things that are not sharp. The world is full of things that are just easy to get by. We live in a day full of dullness. Hey, look, you're not going to be sharp playing video games for 12 hours a day. You're not going to be sharp doing that. You're not going to be sharp looking at things on the internet you're not supposed to. You're not going to be sharp going out and just hanging out with your friends and missing church and missing youth rally and missing revival. And you're not going to be sharp doing that. But when you want to be used, and when you want the king to use you, the king shows up just like he might be tonight. And he says, you're the one I want. You're the one I could use. Hey, if you'll just be usable. It's the king's business. Not just any business. It's the king's business. Oh, there's looking for something present and proven. And he's even looking for something powerful, just not in your power. In his hand is powerful. But can I say he's looking for something precious? Yes, sir. Right. Notice what he says. There is none like that. Yeah. Nothing compared to it. Right. You may be sitting there and you may be thinking, I'm a nobody. I can't sing like these folks. I'm a nobody. I come from a bad home, or I come from the wrong side of the tracks, or my mom and daddy's this, or whatever the excuse that the devil has laid in your lap. But he says you're precious. He says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, I got a plan for you. Oh, to Saul, this sword was nothing. We'll just place it over in the temple, and we'll just place it in a place kind of away from everything else, and it'll just kind of be something that we just watch and something that we kind of talk about, and something that maybe when people pass by, they just say, oh, what's that sword? Just kind of a talking point, if you will. But to David, it was much more than that. It wasn't something just to sit there. It wasn't just something just to look at. It was something that he could take in his hand, and he could defeat the enemy. Oh, it's precious. Nothing compares to it. Nothing compares to you. There's some of you folks, and I don't know all of you. I know There's some of you, your mom and daddy don't want you to go to church. There's some of you, your mom and daddy really didn't want you to come tonight. There's some of you, you don't have any help at the house. There's some of you inside think you're worthless because that's what the world has told you. There's some of you, and listen, I realize the day in which we live. We're living in a day where suicide is an all-time rate. Frankly, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of our good kids. The devil tricks them and lies to them. And I look, if you don't get nothing else from the sermon, I want you to get this. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you're precious in Jesus' sight. He loves you. He died for you, and he wants to use you. And I don't care where you come from. It don't matter. It don't matter. It don't matter what the things of the past are. It don't matter what home is like. You are precious to my Savior. You are precious to the King. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Can I just remind you who this sword belonged to before? Can I just remind you that Goliath was a champion on the wrong side?
Right.
Oh, but in David's hand. In David's hand, it was different. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've seen. Can I say this sword had seen some bad things? This sword had seen some wickedness. This sword had seen some dark things. But in the King's hand, in David's hand, it could be different. He's looking for something precious. Something precious. He wants something profitable. We live in a generation where people are okay with just being just ho-hum, just here. Don't you want to be something? Don't you want to do something for God? Hey, and can I just make this statement right now? You don't have to go all the way around the world to do something for God. Get started right here. Right here in this church. If you're a member of this church, get started right here. If you're a member of the other church, get started in your church. Do something for God. He's looking for something profitable.
Yes, sir.
Give it to me. Oh, there's nothing like that.
Amen.
Give it to me. He's looking for something with a purpose. You realize, in this day, if you'll study it out, swords were not just lying on every corner. Find that it was a rare thing for them to have a sword. I mean, the Philistines had them. God's people didn't have them. And you'll find that what he was looking for was something that he could defend. And can I say we need in this day some young people to defend the faith.
Yeah.
Defend that King James Bible.
Right.
Defend old time religion.
Defend dressing right.
Acting right. Defending young ladies looking like young ladies. Young men looking like young men. Defending what the Bible says is truth.
Yeah.
Looking for something with a purpose. Can I say this tonight? And I want you to listen to me. We find the person of the King is important. I'm thankful that I know who my King is.
Yes, sir.
I'm thankful for that. But can I say this, that there was a few folks that knew who the real King was. Most people didn't know. And can I remind you that today, I know this place is packed. Brother Wood, this place is packed. But most of the world don't know who the King is.
You're right.
These days, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that my King is Lord. That my King is the Master. That my King is the Savior. And one of these days, everybody was going to know who David was. But he needed a weapon. And we're living in a day where the world don't know who the King is. And he's looking for some young lady, young man to be the weapon. But they'll know. They'll know the power in the King's hand. They'll know who stands the tallest. They'll know who the one is that God has chosen. Can I say this? I'm not going to be long. But we find the lastly, we find the patience of the king. I like what David said because he's a lot like I am. I'm not a very patient person. This way said. He said, there's not given me. He wasn't waiting around. He didn't have time to talk about it. He didn't have time to discuss it with Ahimelech. By the way, you'll find this. You'll find in just the verses before it, they kind of discussed the bread. That was a discussion. He didn't have time to discuss the sword. Now that's a message in itself. But he discussed the bread. And he laid out all the qualifications for the bread. But with the sword, he said, is there a sword? And Ahimelech said, there's just one. And it's from that Goliath that you slew. It's from that wicked one that you slew. And he said, oh, there's nothing like that one. Give it to me. And can I say that it is high time and my Savior is walking amongst you tonight. And he might even be sitting down in your lap tonight. And he is saying, hey, I want you. I want you to be used by me. I want to do something with you. I want to make you into a preacher. I want you to be a godly Christian. I want you to go to school in just the next few weeks. Tell the world that Jesus saved. King is. Oh, you're powerful in the king's hand. You may think you're a nobody, but my king wants you. He wants you. And you're sitting there. And everybody thinks you're useless. But there's a king. And he says, oh, it's time to wake out of sleep. We must redeem the time. It's time tonight to get to work. Hey, you realize our neighbors are dying going to hell. You realize kids that you'll go to school with will die and go to hell. You realize some of our families will die and go to hell. You realize that there's other teenagers and other young people that you'll come in contact with that'll die and go to hell. Adults, you realize there's people you pass by at the gas station, people you pass at the grocery store, people you could go and knock on the door, and they'll die and go to hell. The whole time the king is saying, oh, if you were just in my hand. Oh, there's power there.
Amen.
If you just let me use you. If you just let me use you. What about it tonight? The king wants you. The king's summoning for you. Are you just gonna sit up there on the shelf? You just gonna sit in a chair? Sure, I'm okay. I mean, I'm here. A Friday night, I'm here. You just gonna sit there? Where everybody just the preacher sees you on Sunday? Or are you gonna get in the king's hand? Be used by the king. Lord, bless tonight. Lord, bless the invitation. Lord, speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that as a help to somebody. Lord, I ask that you'd help us tonight. Lord, that there be some young people. Lord, surrender to you. Lord, there be some young people that would come to you and say, Lord, I just want to be in your hand.
I just want to go where you want me to go. I just want to go where you'll take me. I just want to be used by you.
Lord, I ask that you'd help tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, head bows and eyes closed. The altar's open. God spoke to your heart. Why don't you use the altar? I know there's not much room, but there's plenty of room for you to come to the altar.
Yes, sir.
If you need to, you gather all the way back around. We're okay tonight. Don't let the fact that there's not much room detour you from not coming to an altar. You move tonight if he spoke to your heart. The king wants you. He says there's nothing compares to you. I could do something mighty with you if you just be in my hands. Oh, don't just sit on a shelf. Let him use you. Oh, you'll be powerful with the king's help and the king's hand. Oh, if he spoke to your heart, please do business with him. He loves you tonight. The king wants to use you.